Good morning. My name is Lisa Rasmussen, and let's see if this is going to come up here. I am the project leader for Arizona's Immunization Registry, which is referred to as ACES. And my topic is Crossing Population Borders, Arizona's Bidirectional Exchange of Immunization Data with Indian Health Services. Yes, it is a long title. Let's see, real quick here. Oh, yes, the fun little slide. I have no disclosures today. I'm a state employee. What can I say? Okay, ACES is what we refer to as the Arizona State Immunization Information System. It was created by a state mandate, Arizona's revised statute number 36135. It went into effect on January 1st, 1998. This requires that any healthcare professional licensed provider that provides immunizations is required to report these immunizations administered to children under the age of 18. Now, of course, that's saying that this Arizona is mandated as a child registry. However, we do have the ability to collect adult immunizations. It's just not legislatively mandated. It's not mandated, and it is not. There isn't the legal ability to. We've tried to pass it and make it a cradle-to-grave registry, and as far as legislation for the last couple of years, and if this last legislative session, it did not pass again. ACES was developed between 1994 and 1998. It went online in 1998. Has became a web-based product in 2003. We receive data via web entry, paper forms reported to us, billing data uploads, batch HL7 feeds from electronic medical records, and currently we have 34 million immunizations for 3.5 million individuals, including 2.3 million children. Now, considering that Arizona has 6.5 million people living there, it is considered to be quite a mature registry. Okay, now we do have an interface between ACES and Indian Health Services. In the past, IHS, the different sites were using ACES as a link to retrieve immunization information. Their system is configured so that each of their different sites act independently. They use the same reporting software, which is an electronic medical record system, which they refer to as RPMS, which is the Resource and Patient Management System, which also has an immunization model as part of this. Beginning in 2004, negotiations began for the development of a data exchange system. Okay. We had to, of course, overcome a few hurdles. I think Jim was talking about the data sharing agreements and the requirements for confidentiality of information. Now, one thing to remember is that because these are reservations and this is Indian Health Services information, reservations are not part of, they are not required under the state mandate to report to us. Let's see, we also had to learn about HL7 messaging, which is the standard for transmitting secure health-related data, developing the programming, and then, of course, testing the reciprocal files. I'll explain about the reciprocal files in a little bit. System upgrades, anytime either system changes, we needed to make sure that the programming matched on both sides. Staff turnover has been a challenge because when in 2007, both the project leader, my predecessor, and a data an analyst who were both knowledgeable in the use of HL7 messaging left their positions for other employment, and so therefore we lost a lot of that knowledge. Let's see, what else do we have here? And of course, training. Everyone needs to be trained as far as how to do this. Now, how does this work? Okay, our process is to determine the reason why we set up the system is that a child that is seen in a different IHS site, because the sites do not do not have a centralized database. Each site acts independently. The different sites do not have complete immunization records if the child moved from site to site. So therefore, IHS folks developed an exchange software, which is referred to as BYIM, which extracts the immunization data out of their RPMS, their electronic medical record system, and then they send it as a batch file to our system via the HL7 messaging. There's a communication bridge that ensures the secure transmission of the data, make sure that everything comes across correctly. We run through a deduplication process and create a reciprocal file. So basically it gives the missing information that that site did not have for that child, and it sends it back to them via the HL7 messaging, and then it's uploaded into their system. Sounds a little complicating, doesn't it? Well, let's look at Arizona as a whole. Arizona has 20 reservations, 22 separate tribes, and there are estimated in the 2000 census over 77,000 children under the age of 18. Unfortunately, one of the things that this slide does not show is that two of our larger reservations are outlined on this slide instead of being filled in. And I don't know if I can indicate here. This is the Navajo Reservation, and this is the Tohono O'odham Reservation. These are relatively large reservations. Now, let's talk about Arizona Sentinel site. Now, geez, if we go back to the previous slide, can I go back? How do I go back? Okay, this previous slide here, if I can kind of show here, if we drew a line like about this way here, this is our Sentinel site area. So if you look at all the different reservations that are within that area, the reservations do make up a considerable amount of the Sentinel site. And in fact, it does comprise of over 40% of the land area being on reservations. The Sentinel site, Arizona has been part of our Sentinel site project since 2004. Currently, we're looking at a population of over 750,000 people. Now, Arizona does have 6.5 million, so this is a lesser populated part of the state. There are over 200,000 children under the age of 19 in that area. Okay, I love this slide. Back in 2004, you can see where we started receiving information from IHS, can't you? Which was about 2004. And so therefore, we do see this is the population of the 19 to 35-month-old children. This is as reported. Each of those little dots are the different quarters that we've reported for our Sentinel site information for these different years. So this does give you an indication as far as what our denominator is. Now, we look at the denominator being all children enrolled in the registry. Okay, now this slide here shows the 19 to 35-month-olds. I know this is a busy slide, and I tried to figure out how I can stuff everything in here, and I'm sorry about that. This is information that we reported through our Sentinel site for our completion rates for the 431 rate and the 431-331 rate. 431 is being 4 DTAP, 3 polio, and 1 MMR. And you can see that in the first quarter of 2004, it was listed at about 41.4%. And by the fourth quarter 2007, we were looking at 56.9%. For the 431-331, that is the 4 DTAP, 3 polio, 1 MMR, 3 hepatitis B, 3 HIB, and 1 varicella, that went from about 23% all the way up to 52.7%. Okay, now looking at these same children and taking a look at, and that's basically how we calculate, this would be the fourth quarter of 2007 data. Looking at the 431-331 completion rates for the children in the Sentinel site, if we look at the overall, the light blue bar there, that shows the entire breaking this information out by county. And if we look at the dark blue bar, that would be what would happen if, you know how Jim was talking about removing the data from the other states. If we were to remove the IHS information out of these different states, you see the difference. Apache County is the one that really made a significant difference because a good portion of their population is served by the IHS sites. And you notice that Apache County, Navajo County, and Coconino County, there's the greatest difference. We also did this for statewide, and there was about a 3% difference between the two. Okay, now as far as our lessons learned, I think the biggest one here, which I don't even have on the slide, is what everyone refers to as garbage in, garbage out. Because this is a transfer between two different databases, any bad data that goes from one side to the other results in bad data on the other side. Start slow, very few sites. We are in the process of rolling this out. We have 3 beta testing sites right now. We figure within a short period of time we will be expanding this to more sites. Try to go for sites that have staff that are more technically oriented because this is a very technical and very confusing process to work through. Anticipate turnover. This is what I ran into with my with the project when I walked in. This is where we were missing a lot of that knowledge base. Consider it as an ongoing project. This isn't something that you can turn on and leave because there are upgrades in each application and need to make sure that everything works smoothly. Of course, our benefits. The biggest thing is the increased immunization coverage in the counties that have the large IHS presence, as we saw with that difference in Apache County. Complete records in both systems. Better reporting of the data. This is electronic medical record data, so therefore it's a lot cleaner. And it has resulted in a better relationship between Department of Health Services and Indian Health Services. What is next? We are looking for full participation of all the IHS service areas. There are, I think, about 18, last time we counted, different service areas. We are going to be rolling this out to all 18 sites. Possible expansion to non-IHS tribal facilities. What we're seeing is that there is a movement to go from the IHS to tribal health. So this is going to, of course, result in developing new data sharing agreements. And then expansion to other states' IIS programs. The state of Alaska is looking at creating the same sort of exchange, and Alaska has about 60% of their population that is being served by IHS and are reported on this RPMS system. Okay, a good resource here is that the folks in IHS, their immunization program, Division of Epidemiology and Disease Prevention in Albuquerque, created a resource guide, of which I have a copy here if anybody's interested in looking, and I can give anybody that needs to send them a link or send them a copy of this guide. And I do want to say many thanks to Amy Grimm and Celeste Town. They are CDC folks that work at IHS in Albuquerque. Jason Lockwood, Scott Hamstra, and John Parker, there are testers at the different sites. Nathan Bunker, Tim Baker, and other staff at Scientific Technologies Corporation, which is the creator of our database. And my staff, Michelle Ruiz and Richard Bradley, and the rest of my dedicated staff that have really worked to get this project working. Of course, the predecessors that left, Michael Conklin, who was our research analyst, and Kimiko Gosney, who was my predecessor as the project leader. They're the ones who started this. And I don't think Arizona's immunization program office would be the same without Kathy Fredrickson, and I have to thank her very much. And shame on her, because she's going to be retiring this in January. But if anybody has any questions, here's my information. And does anybody have any questions here? Yes. Excuse me? Excuse me? Oh. Okay, for my contact information, where do I want to go? Here's this one? Resume? Okay, we can. Okay, go ahead. And I do have a bunch of my cards here if anybody needs them.
Is it the slides that you slide?
Thank you.
Okay. Yes.
You indicated that the individual IHS locations only kept their own patients, so if a patient moves from one to another. Did they benefit when you sent the information back on the basis?
Oh, yes, they do, because you know, the whole reason behind having a registry is because it's a centralized repository for immunization information. Now, of course, nobody that has an EMR system likes to do double data entry and does not like to have to look in two different sources for their immunization information. So the whole reason behind this is so that there's one central place to look. So either, you know, in the past, you know, they were looking in our system to find the immunization history of the children. And so therefore, if the children did visit a site outside of IHS, and also because, you know, their system was set up thinking that each of these children would stay within the central service area. Of course, nobody stays in the same spot. Children move around and they become mobile. And so therefore they were being served by different sites. And so therefore the children were, their records were fragmented, you know, in the different, in their different systems. So this kind of helps pull everything all together. Yes?
I'm curious, the relationship sounds like one between Arizona Department of Health and IHS, and I'm curious how you might involve tribes or tribal governments in agreeing to do the data sharing.
That's going to be a challenge because Arizona is starting to move from from the IHS to tribal health. And this is something that we're going to have to work with.
Does that mean that the IHS sites are with
IHS, we have a working relationship, and we do have a memorandum of understanding with IHS. But there are some reservations that are moving to tribal health, and that's going to be requiring, of course, that's going to have to require another data sharing agreement. Yes. Actually, I believe when we send the information back to the different sites, it does identify which site, which facility that the data came from. And as long as it's within the IHS umbrella. Now, if a child had gone to a private provider, non-IHS, they would just be receiving the immunization information. I don't believe they would see who it came from unless they looked on our database. And that does identify who provided the shots. Yes, Gail.
Hi.
Oh gosh, we have changed because we are working with an ongoing process, and we add additional modules to our system. And this is one of the reasons why new vaccines, new information, and so therefore that's why we need to kind of plan for the upgrades, because in working with databases as large as this one here, one change in one portion of the application does make a difference, especially when we're looking at electronic feeds. Any other questions?
One of the philosophies of Oregon Alert is that our primary constituent are the providers. And I think one of the concerns, I haven't specifically talked to the Alert people about this, but one of the concerns about sharing source data, the actual source of the Alert records to another state, is that our providers may have concerns. And that may not be true, but I think that's one possibly might be.
Okay. Thank you.